Hi, John.
How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good.
Good, huh? Great.
Where are you calling from?
Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Seymour?
No, Bloomington.
Are most of your songs written from the experiences you had growing up in the small town of Seymour, Indiana?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so. I just, it's experiences of just watching people, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, Hurt So Good. I mean, you know, that's just, some dumb songs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they all are.
Did the confining atmosphere of the small town cause you to find an escape in rock and roll at all? Or?
Well, I think it found me a way not to have to, work construction or something.
Yeah.
More than anything else. I never did really feel like, when you're a kid, you always think, God damn, I can't wait to get out of this town.
Uh-huh.
Right? Then once you get out, you realize that every town's just about the same, Some are just bigger, some are just smaller, but you end up running with, a little small amount of people, and a town is inside your head. It's not really the streets or the
mm-hmm.
or the businesses. It's inside your head. If you're an unhappy person in Seymour, Indiana, you're going to be an unhappy person in New York City.
That's a good philosophy. Did you ever dream during those times in Seymour that one day you'd be a rich and famous rocker?
Well, I'll tell you what. To this day, I don't even dream those dreams. It's just something that kind of happened to me,
Mm-hmm.
I've made records for, 8 or 9 years now, and I was, perfectly pretty happy with just, making enough money that the record company made money, and I could continue to make records, and, but I never really thought about being a big, success, and I think it's only a temporary state anyway. Because hell, we could talk in 2 years and I could be in the shittiest little club in the world playing and not selling any records again. So, it's all up and down. I anticipate a lot of ups and downs. And it's been up and down for the last 10 years, so I don't think it's going to be any different for the next 10.
Yeah, it's really up now, though, eh?
Yeah, at the moment, yeah.
Yeah. What made you go to New York in the first place to try and get recorded, was it?
Well, back then I didn't have any, very much money. And
uh-huh.
You want to know the truth?
Yeah.
Closer drive than Los Angeles. And, the record business was in both places, so it was like, a fucking 48-hour drive to Los Angeles and only an 18-hour drive. So that was pretty much the reason behind that.
Mm-hmm. Was it just sort of a crazy idea? You didn't have that much experience at the time.
Oh, hell no. You got it right. It was just a crazy idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like I'd see these, just like you. You read stuff and you think, well, fuck, I can write that good.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. I'd see guys on TV singing. I'd go, well, this guy ain't so fucking great. He can do it. I can do it.
Yeah. When did you first start singing, anyway?
Oh, I think I'm going to start that next week. I don't know.
Did you just start around the house when you were a kid, sort of singing along to records? And...
Probably, just like, probably like anybody else. Just
mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't even know that I can sing that good now. I just, it's just my voice and it's just me hollering out some lyrics pretty much.
Did you have any big influences when you were younger that stand out?
Yeah, I had a lot of them. Eric Burdon, Mitch Ryder, Keith Richards, Dylan, the same bunch that when you grew up in the 60s.
How did you get the name Cougar? That's not your real name, is it?
Some stupid fucking manager thought it was a good idea, and, I didn't really think it was that good of an idea back then, but I didn't give a shit, so I just went along with it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think now? Is it a sort of a cloud hanging over your head, or do you think it's...
Oh, yeah, it's a fucking rock around my neck.
Yeah.
I'd much prefer to be known as John Mellencamp, but I think I kind of am anymore, too, especially in some places.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that really gets me is this Johnny bullshit.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever called me that my whole life. And then every now and again, somebody will pop up and go, God, there goes Johnny Cougar. And it's like, oh, fuck. Please, give me a break.
What was it about American Fool, you think, that made it such a huge seller?
I think that probably that they fucking everybody else already been successful. I was the only one left that didn't make it.
What about the music itself?
It was because I've been around for so long, and I know a lot of people in radio, and
mm-hmm.
and basically, I think that people thought, well, you know, if John makes a, you know, most people in the United States anyway, if John makes a record that has a, because the I Need a Lover was kind of successful, and Ain't No Tonight was kind of successful, and, you know, I've had, you know, records that were kind of successful before,
mm-hmm.
and I think that they just, I know a lot of guys that, you know, on a one-to-one basis, and pretty familiar with them, and they all just kind of thought, well, hey, if he fucking makes a record that looks like it might go on the radio, then we're going to play the shit out of it,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's what happened. Hurt So Good came out, and I was amazed, and I can remember it was like, you know, a real high point for me. The record came out in the first week. We got added to like 175 radio stations in the United States.
Yeah.
How about shit? Because, you know, always before it was like, well, we picked up 5 ads this week. You know, that's the norm that we used to get. It was like, we got 178 fucking ads this week. I went, Jesus Christ, that's all right.
Yeah, I guess it just sort of has a attraction to a lot of people, that those sort of tunes.
Yeah, that's a, you know.
When it sells 2.5 million, it's got to have something about it, you know.
Well, I think that, the thing about John Cougar is that people either love him or they hate him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way it's got to be.
Yeah.
You know, if you're an artist that, you know, when they go, well, what do you think about this guy? And they go, well, I don't know. Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, right.
That's no opinion to have. That's not good.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you say, well, what do you think about Toto? Well, they're all right.
Yeah.
You know? Well, that's not good. They got to go, oh, I think that guy's great, or I hate that motherfucker.
Yeah, right.
So, and that's the way it's got to be, because if it's not that way, then, you know, you're not making an impression.
Mm-hmm.
If people hate you enough to talk about you, that's good. And if people like you enough to talk about you, that's good. But when they just feel indifferent about you, and I got that type of personality that people, when they meet me, either like me or they don't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it carries over into the music. It carries over to the image that I have.
Uh-huh. I was wondering about the album title, American Fool. Are you supposed to be the American Fool that it refers to, or is it?
Well, I kind of think it turned into that. Initially, it wasn't the idea, but initially it was just like there wasn't any real big heavy thing behind it. It was just like, hey, I'm no different than anybody else. I'm caught in the same trappings that. That probably you are, and the guy next door to me are, you know, is, and it was just kind of like we're all kind of like the American Fool, you know. Well, we believe what they tell us, and we have to swallow it. And thank you very much. Thank you. Good night. You know.
Yeah.
But I've heard, you know, I see things on TV and see stuff written about me. They go, John Cougar, you know, here's John Cougar, the American Fool, which I think is good. You know, I think it gives me an identity.
Uh-huh.
Other than, I mean, what do you call Toto? Well, there's Toto. You know,
yeah.
So it kind of gives you an identity, and I think that is the most important thing. And I think a lot of people are probably buying the image as much as they're buying the records, because, you know, the fucking records ain't that great, and the image ain't that great, but as two put together, they turn out to be okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I understand you turned down the lead role in the movie The Idolmaker?
Yeah, I've turned down a lot of movie things.
Do you have any aspirations to try acting in the future? Or?
Well, you know, if the right thing came along, I'd do it. But I don't want to be in a movie and have to sing in it. You know, I don't want to be, I know, I always thought it was so stupid to see Robert Goulet in a movie and him start singing, right?
Uh-huh.
No fucking reason at all. You know, he's in the middle of the faintest lines, the next thing you know, he's doing a song. I don't want to do that.
But what would be the right thing, the role you'd like to play?
Well, I don't know. I'd like to play, something serious or something completely ludicrous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing too melt toast, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think something, if I could be funny in it, I wouldn't mind trying that. Or if it was a serious part, I wouldn't mind trying that. But I don't want to do, you know, a thing where they're really hiring me because I sing and because I write songs.
Mm-hmm.
People call me up and go, listen, John, you want to be in this movie? They don't say it to me, they say it to my manager. We want John Cougar to be in this movie. Well, what's he going to do? Well, we wanted to write 2 or 3 songs. Ah, that's why you want him in the movie, because you want to write some fucking songs for the movie so you can sell your stupid fucking soundtrack, right?
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
You know, well, fuck you. You know, they always got their reasons.
Yeah.
So when somebody calls up and says, we've got a great movie, and it's going to have, Paul Newman's wife in it, and Faye Dunaway, is John interested? Does he got to sing? No singing at all. Yeah, he'd be interested. Or, hey, we got a movie that's going to have Dan Aykroyd in it and John Candy. Would John Cougar be interested in being in it? Yeah, I'd be interested in that.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not interested in getting on there and singing.
Yeah, I see. How did you come to meet the members in your band?
Oh, they're all just a bunch of local assholes like myself.
Are they from Seymour as well?
No, they're all from Bloomington.
Uh-huh. Why are they called the Zone?
Well, they're not really anymore. We kind of did away with that because when we first started about 8 years ago, they were called the Zone, and it was called John Cougar and the Zone.
Mm-hmm.
But then as, like I said earlier, everybody else became popular and we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Became, you know, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Huey Lewis and the News.
Uh-huh.
All these bands started coming out, like, you know, with the name that we'd had, and I just thought, well, we don't want to do that. Fuck it.